now turns to the mitzvah of Hakeil, that every 7 years, the entire community came to hear the Kohen Gadol, the Melech, the king, read parts of Sefer Devarim in public. Moshe explained, there's a mitzvah that had to be done by the king with the entire nation in his presence every 7 years. When the Jews would gather in Yerushalayim for Sukkot, going Oyle Regel, in the year that follows Shemitah, so the Shemitah year ends Rosh Hashanah, now they come to Yerushalayim for the next Sukkot. They get together at the beginning of Chol HaMoed Sukkot to hear the king read and explain Torah. Everyone was required to attend, the men, the women, and the children. Question asked, what were children going to learn? And we're told that it was a positive experience for the children to be in that environment of Kedusha, that itself. The other thing it says is, it gave the parents an extra mitzvah because they bothered to bring the kids to this event. A high platform was put in the Ezras Noshim, which is known as the woman's court in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the king sits. Now, a couple things to be noted. This high platform is the originator of the mechitza that we have in shuls. If we learn in the Mishnah in Sukkah that at first they would have the women on the lower level and the men in the balconies, and then later on they switched it for various reasons, but they clearly wanted a segregation of in those days when we only had two genders. I don't know what they would do today with seven genders on some forms, but I won't go there. So this high platform is erected. A woman's mechitz is set up as well. And the king sits in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And I think only a king from Beis David was allowed to sit. No one else. Then a Sefer Torah comes and the king stands to accept the Sefer Torah. He says the bracha on the Torah, the one we do, Asher b'charbanim yikol ha'amim. Then he's allowed to sit down and to read. The text is a number of prokim and psukim from Sefer Devarim. It includes Shema Yisrael, and it includes the curses and blessings in Parshas Kisavo. After he finishes reading, the king makes seven brachas. They start with Ritzei, the one we say in everyday davening, except our tefillah. We then say Moedim Anachnu Lach, we give praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata Bechartona Mikol Ho'amim, that we say on Yontiv. Then there's a special bracha for the continued existence of the Beis HaMikdash. And that ends with a bracha, Shashoichein B'Zion, God who will continue to dwell in Zion. There's a bracha for the continuation of the Malchus, the kingdom of Beis David. There's a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept all of the service of the Kohanim favorably. Then there's a bracha for the king, and it ends, Baruch Shemeyat Tefillah. I think it's a question whether all these brachas begin and end with Baruch or not. I think the Gemara goes into that detail. It says, even the Gedolei Hador, the greatest of the Rabbanim, are required to listen to this Torah attentively and with awe. The king is now acting as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personal delegate to teach Torah to the nation. And the Jews should consider this a reenactment of Har Sinai, of Kabbalah's HaTorah on Har Sinai. And it says, the mitzvah's purpose is to chizuk, to strengthen the Klal Yisroel in learning Torah and in being mekayim, in keeping mitzvahs. It says, the mitzvah of Hakel was carefully practiced by all of the kings who were tzaddikim. We're told there was a king, Agrippa, who stood for the entire reading because he felt that this was a way that he could give additional kavod l'Torah, and the Chachamim praised him for this, that he had this anivus, this extra measure of humility in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're told a story that on Yom Tov, Rav Yochanan ben Baraka and Rav Elezer ben Chasma went to see their Rebbe, Rav Yeshua, who lived in Pekiah. And we're told it was a mitzvah for a student to visit his main Rebbe on Yom Tov. And he asked them, he said, what new insights did you hear in the Beis Medrash today? And they said, Rebbe, we are your students. Is it proper for us to speak words of Torah in your presence? And he said, yes, tell me. He says, I want you to know that every time people learn in a Beis Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them novel ideas, and it's important that they be given to the rabbim, to the many. They said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, he gave shir in Mitzvah Hakel, and he talked about the pasuk, assemble the people together, men, women, children. And he said, I understand why men are told to come, because this is Limud HaTorah, this is the king teaching Torah. The women also will learn coming there. And then he talked to the point that we mentioned earlier, but why, pray tell, are they told to bring children with? Isn't this apt to be, I guess, you know, somewhat makes them disorderly? And he said, no. The Torah commanded that the real reason to bring the children is to give schar to the parents, give them additional merit for bringing them. And Rav Yehoshua said to his Talmidim, this is one of the most precious explanations. And he said, had I not asked, you wouldn't have told me this chiddush, and I consider it golden. The Anaf Yosef says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way has displayed his love for the Klal Yisrael. Parents who have kids and want to do the mitzvah, they didn't have daycare centers. They didn't have nurseries. They would have to bring them. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, because of his great love for Yisroel, is take what was necessary for them to do pragmatically and turn it into a mitzvah. L'shem Shamayim. If you bring your kids, because Hashem said, not only because you have to care for them, he elevated. And the author of the Medrash says, today's psychologists, he says, realize that an environment influences children. Even before a formal learning process begins, he says the atmosphere that a young child would see, the king, the Kohen Gadol, the assembly of millions of people, all enveloped in Kedusha, all trying to do a mitzvah, is something you don't forget. The same way two-year-olds don't forget if they went to the Kosel, somehow they remember. It's the same thing. And he says, this in itself is enough reward for the parents. The very fact that they can have an influence on their children in such a manner and have this type of thing remain in their psyches, that in itself is a bracha. And Tosfos says, we learn from the mitzvah of Hakel that the Torah is teaching us that where it is pragmatic and not disruptive, it's a mitzvah to bring young children to shul, to realize that a shul is something very special. We're told that right after this event, after Moshe taught the mitzvah of Hakel, it says Moshe began to petition or to continue petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu to annul his death decree. From the first of Adar until the seventh, Moshe unceasingly pray to Hashem to prolong his life. Because we're told that even when a cherev, even when a sword is on somebody's throat, they should never give up and they ask for Hashem for rachamim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, behold your day's approach where you must die. He didn't say, behold, you're going to die. And the Chachamim learn things from this, obviously. Hashem Mechalafto was once invited to a bris milah, where the father served his guest 7-year-old wine. And he said, I am taking the rest of this wine, and Be'ezras Hashem, I'll use it at my son's wedding. The meal continued, after which Rav Shimon Chalafta went back to his town. Normally, he would not walk by himself out of a fear of mazikim, but since he was coming back from having done the mitzvah of attending a Suda's mitzvah for a bris, he wasn't concerned. And along the way, he met the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. Shimon asked, who are you? And he said, I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu's messenger. And he said, why do you look strange tonight? He says, you don't look the way I've often perceived you. And it seems that the great Tanoim could recognize the Melech HaMelech. And he says, you know why I'm agitated by people's comments? He says, they make careless comments about what they will do in future, and it never enters their mind they may not be Zocha to reach that time. He said, if they thought about this, they would do tshuva, and I guess be mispalel. The host said, he's putting this away for his son's chuppah. But I am telling you, I am taking his son to Olam Haba in 30 days. Rav Shimon said, let me ask you, when is the time of my Misa? And he said, I'll tell you the reality. Over you and your peers, I have no power. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your Maisim Toivim, your good deeds, he continues to add to what may previously have been a decreed lifespan. He says, the fear of Hashem prolongs days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wished, and I don't know how you can write this, would have wished to prolong Moshe's life beyond 120 years. And we can understand that because Moshe was the greatest Navi in history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only takes a tzaddik's neshama reluctantly. To indicate this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say to Moshe that, you know, you're going to die, but you're approaching the end. Moshe, it seems, said somewhat in dismay, you were announcing to me my upcoming death with the very same expression I praised you, Ribbono Shel Olam. I said, behold, Lashem Ha'aretz Imloyai, to Hashem belongs the heaven and the heavens of heaven. And you use the same phrase, behold, in conjunction with you are going to pass away. And it says, maybe we can understand Moshe's reaction in looking at a metaphor. When walking on a deserted road, a man saw a shiny object in the grass. He bent down and he picked up a sword that had been dropped by a horseman. But it was an amazing sword. He could tell it was of the greatest craftsmanship. And somehow the sheath was lavishly bestowed with multiple diamonds. This, he said, is a sword fit for a king. And he realized that the appropriate thing would be to give it to the king rather than keep it from himself. He came to the palace where he said, I have a gift for the king. He was admitted and he came to the reception room. He came to the king and he said, my dear majesty, I have found this exquisite sword, and I want to give it to you as a gift. The king took the sword from him and said, this is the most amazing sword I have ever seen. And then he told the guards, cut the guy's head off with it. And he said, you're going to behead me with the very gift I gave you? That seems to be the way Moshe reacted. Moshe was appalled that Hashem used the same term. The Tiferes Sion says this word hain, behold, signifies what he calls an open manifestation. Moshe's leadership was a period of time when there was an open manifestation of a Shekhinah. Nisim, miracles occurred daily. Hashem told Moshe that this state of existence would not continue when the Jews enter Eretz Yisroel. And because this is the way Moshe Rabbeinu lead Klal Yisroel, or maybe because your zechusim are so great, this is what inevitably happens in Moshe's presence, having you in Eretz Yisroel will sort of will defeat the way I want things to happen. Rabbeinu Bachya says, your days have approached with not a punishment. He said to Moshe, you're going to Olam Haba, where you're going to receive the greatest eternal reward. Hashem would never behead Moshe with the same sword, with the hain, the behold. The behold meant you're going to a higher level. You praised me during your lifetime, and now you are going to exist under the Kisei HaKavod, the heavenly throne of glory. Hashem said, also, you used the word hain when you said, behold, the Jews won't believe me when I said, go to Mitzrayim and tell them that the Gula's happened. Moshe said to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, could you please explain to me what my Din Nisa is? Why am I judged to deserve death? What of Aaron? And Hashem said, no. You are someone who is going to experience Misa because of the decree on Adam. And Moshe said, Adam, did a chait? Did I? He said, no. But because you are one of Adam's descendants, you're subject to the decree. It says, Hashem said, Moshe, the souls of all the generations are part of Adam's soul. Therefore, the chait of his doing somehow affects every soul. Avram Avinu was Nifter, and Moshe said, ah, but he had Yishmael. Yitzchak, and he said Yitzchak had Esav. And then Hashem said, even Yaakov, who had 12 tzaddikim. And Moshe said, but nobody else in the history ever went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah. And Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I understand, but don't continue to ask. This is a gezeira. This is my edict. Moshe then continued to ask Hashem for rachamim. And Hashem said, I cannot change the world the way I've made it. Once I decreed that every human being will come to Gan Eden, or otherwise, there is no exception. It says that Moshe then turned to the earth and asked for mercy. He turned to the mountains and he turned to the sea. And he continued to pray that he be allowed to become Yehoshua's student. And as we said back when, what happened is that Hashem showed him a vision of Yehoshua conducting a shiur of Moshe Rabbeinu in the audience. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that Yehoshua was having a conversation with Hashem, and he was no longer privy to it. And he was beginning to feel jealous, and he said, "Oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen. I now understand that I cannot become Yehoshua's student. That's not in my sort of DNA. It's not going to happen." And he said, "I'd rather die 1,000 deaths than ever be subject to the problem of jealousy."